Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots to episode 1810 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, your letters of encouragement. So good to hear you guys out there. So good to try to get back to as many of your emails and correspondence as possible. Although I can't get to all of them anymore, it's just not possible. So thank you guys for the news, links, and just all of the other resources related to State of Jefferson and so on. There's just so much to sort through. There's so much happening in our country right now. It's a wild ride, no doubt about it. If you have friends that would like to listen to Radio Free Redoubt, the live streaming, anytime we're live streaming, particularly on Sunday evenings for our podcast, remember, they can call in as long as we have the VoiceStream HD Pro streaming, and we have a phone number. So if you want to write this number down, you can listen to that. Save yourself some bandwidth if you are on metered mail or metered data. And that phone number is area code 857-757-1085. So thank you guys. Now, a little bit of update. The laptop is working tip-top shape. Everything, it was a VPN glitch, kind of a little collision there. We had to reset, kind of just reset the virtual private network, you know, for secure internet browsing. And we use NordVPN, and highly recommend it. Have not had a problem with it in, I don't know, what, 2-3 years? And something, I don't know, something had a hiccup. So it's all reset now, and we're good to go. So thank you guys for your support and for your patience. But last week, I did get a chance to air or re-air the interview with Simon Roach from Sidelanders that we had aired last year, almost exactly a year ago. That was a very popular interview, and a lot of folks said, hey, thank you for replaying that. You know, I didn't, I'm a new listener since that happened. I didn't know about it. Or, you know, I heard that interview and had forgotten about it, or it was, you know, I forgot how good it was. So thank you for re-airing that. So it still worked out. Now, in the process, in the last week, I've actually made contact with Simon Roach. We've been exchanging correspondence through encrypted texting and chatting, because he's in a very remote place, very difficult for him to communicate, but we have been able to communicate. They are reconning some remote places for members of their group to withdraw to. For safety, if this coming genocide that even members of the government are warning them of. Well, this is a Christian organization. They are banding together because they have been targeted because of their race. And what's interesting about this case, they've appealed under the Geneva Conventions for assistance, for intervention, because they've been targeted in this case, because they're white, that they are the black government and the gangs and just the culture there has basically said, we're coming after you. If you own land and you're white, we're going to take it from you. And they've threatened to essentially carry out genocide. So they're appealing right now at the international level, but they're also making plans on the ground in their country. And there's another story here I'm going to get to in the news and commentary section, as far as what's going on in Liberia. Very interesting. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to give you the Sightlanders update. I have reestablished communication with them. It's difficult because they're very remote locations and very limited access to methods of communication that we can actually, you know, use for, you know, interviews. So this coming week, we should be able to make contact where we can actually get an update from them and interview them. And I will bring that to you just as soon as I can get it. Probably, you know, for next week's show that will air. Also, I've been corresponding with James Rawls from Survival Blog. He was, we wanted to have him on the air this weekend, but he was traveling for an event and said, you know, let me get back with you. Let me touch bases with you when you get back. So I said, that's fine. So we've got two great interviews that we're lining up right now, and we're looking forward to those. And we're going to ask James Rawls to weigh in on, you know, what he sees going on in our own country right now, which some of that we're going to talk about tonight. Some of the threats that he sees on the horizon that we should really be paying close attention to. And then I'd really like to hear him weigh in on the South Africa situation. So we've got a lot of that to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. So let's get into it right now with the news and commentary, which is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 10 book series, the 299 Days book series. Go to 299days.com to learn more about that. Also on audio now, about the partial collapse and the rebuilding after the collapse. Great book series. Okay, first story takes us to Liberia. Now, here's the headlines. Listen to the headlines. Liberia considers allowing non-blacks to become citizens. What? Yeah, that's a headline from today. We still have apartheid? I thought we got rid of apartheid. Well, what's interesting here is that it's a little bit different twist than what you might think. This is actually a good thing somebody's trying to do. In his first annual message to the legislature in January, roughly equivalent in ceremonial significance to a State of the Union address, Liberian President George Manet Weah called for eliminating the unnecessary, racist, and inappropriate constitutional clause that bars non-blacks from becoming full citizens of his nation. Now, this is coming to you from Breitbart. Actually, several have covered this, but what I'm reading to you right now came from Breitbart. So this guy, from what I understand, I don't know a whole lot about him yet. I think he is a Christian. He is a black man. He is trying to do the right thing and say, we can't handle, racism on any level, white on black, black on white. So let's do the right thing and let's try to alter this constitution so that non-blacks can actually become full citizens. Well, who has to complain about it but Liberia's top Muslim cleric, by warning that black citizens would be marginalized. Pay attention to that word. That's the new buzzword. You're going to see it in your local human rights Gestapo in a community near you. So this is how they're going to argue, that they're going to warn that black citizens would be marginalized and oppressed if the rules are changed. So I guess if whites were allowed to become full citizens, then now blacks, he's saying, are going to be marginalized. Remember, he's Muslim. He accused Liberian residents who are not black of harboring dual loyalties and criticized Weah, the president, for appointing two Christians as his religious advisors instead of naming a Muslim. So once again, already you see the slight shift here. They're talking about race, black versus white, and you can't change the laws because otherwise blacks will then become marginalized. Now what he's saying is, this president appointed Christians as religious advisors instead of naming a Muslim. Now, he didn't bring it up yet, but the word's coming that Muslims now are going to be marginalized because they're not represented, because this president appointed Christians as religious advisors. Now, if I'm a Christian and I'm a president, why in the world would I appoint a Muslim as my religious advisor? But anyway, they're throwing a fit. So in his address to legislators, President Weah said the constitutional requirements that all citizens of Liberia must be black may have had every reason and justification when the document was framed back in 1847. What happened on that date? Or what was going on then? The American Civil War, right? And of course, Liberia was developed as a country for repatriating blacks back to Africa who had been kidnapped by other tribes and then sold to the Spaniards and others on the trade market and then shipped all over the world, including the United States. And so President Lincoln wanted to do the right thing and give them a chance to get back to Africa where they were stolen from. And that's how Liberia came to be. That's the very brief overview description of Liberia. So according to the Constitution, you couldn't be a full citizen unless you were black. This is to reinforce the repatriation of the blacks back to Africa. So it was a noble intent, but of course now it's gone toward where it's actually being used to oppress anyone who's not black. So they're trying to change this, and who's throwing a fit? The Muslim. So in an effort to make Christianity the state – further in the article, this is very interesting. An effort to make Christianity the state religion in 2015 angered the Muslim population and other minorities, raising, quote, fears of marginalization that provide the context for Crayee's comments this week. Okay, so when they say fears of – if you officially declare yourself – a Christian nation, then we have fears of being marginalized. To a Muslim, marginalization means that we're not going to accept Sharia law as law. That's what it means to them. Well, what we saw in Hungary, according to their constitution, which according to 2012, the new constitution of 2012 in Hungary, they officially declared themselves a Christian nation, didn't they? And the Muslims were saying, oh, you're going to marginalize Muslims. Well, guess what? They are one of the very few, the Czech Republic, who have not been completely overran and conquered by Muslims. Because they said, we're not going to accept all these refugees coming into our country and altering our demographics. This is a Christian nation. And we know what they're trying to do. Al-Hijra. This is cultural jihad, to change the conquest through the changing of cultures. And we're not going to play. So Liberia, now they're looking at actually trying to make Christianity the state religion back as of 2015. And the Muslims are throwing a fit. They're going to be marginalized, they say. Well, guess what? You're right. Because you're not going to have your way with forcing Sharia law on these people. So good on them. This is encouraging. Liberia's got a pretty crazy history. But watch that word, marginalization. If you stand your ground on principle, you're going to be accused of marginalizing somebody. But if you succumb to their desires, you, yourself, your history, your heritage, your values, that is what truly will be marginalized. Okay, next story. This is pretty fascinating, especially in light of some of the solar flare alert hubbub that came down this week. I'm going to talk about also. But from Time Bomb 2000, they're saying that Britain is four meals away from anarchy if a cyber attack takes out the power grid. Now, this also in light of recent affirmations, not revelations, we've known this, but reaffirmations that the Russians have been probing and hacking into several infrastructure systems, including the power grids. And it's even estimated that between North Koreans and the Iranians and the Russians and China, that some bad guys, if they really wanted to, could flip the switch at will on water treatment plants, on transportation, on our power grid, telecommunications infrastructure. They could really disrupt it without an EMP. The cyber attack is the most efficient way to take down a country because nobody had to fire a nuke. What'd I do? I didn't do anything, right? Matter of fact, they can hack systems now to make it look like someone else did it. The Russians can do it, could do it, and make it look completely like the North Koreans did it. So it's just creating all kinds of chaos. What a new battlefield, the electronic digital battlefield, the new Cold War. But in this article, British cities would be uninhabitable within days, and the country is only a few miles from anarchy if the national grid was taken down in a cyber attack or a solar storm. Disaster and security experts have warned. It's an interesting article worth checking out. That's over at timebomb2000.com. And we will put this story in the highlights and resources posting for you to go and check out for yourself. But it's a pretty good in-depth, a pretty good, I guess, overall analysis. And you'll be able to read that for yourself. Now, here's an article that is about a small city, the second to the smallest city in Orange County, California. They're rejecting the state sanctuary law in the Democratic People's Republic of California. They're declaring it unconstitutional. This little town is standing up to the state. Now, this is going to bring massive consequences against this town, most likely in terms of financing. Bless these people. So what happens when you stand up for principle and do the right thing? You're going to get punched in the nose. Because right now, communists, small c, communists have seized operational control of the government in the state of California. So when someone wants to stand up for the rule of law and really Republican form of government, not Republican political party, I mean, when you choose to function as a republic, a constitutional republic, and stick to that, you are going to be creating some very powerful enemies. And these guys are doing the right thing. God bless them. I hope they can pull this off. The city council in Orange County, second smallest city, scheduled to vote Monday, March 19th, tomorrow, on an ordinance that calls for exempting itself from California's Values Act, a new law that limits cooperation between law enforcement and immigration authorities. They're saying it's unconstitutional. They're saying we took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution clearly gives the authority to determine immigration laws and enforcement to the federal portion of our nation's government. It's outside of the state's hand. The state is out of line here, overruling the federal government in this case. The federal government has very limited powers, but this is one of the limited powers they do have. So, anyway, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be interesting to watch. I support them. And what else we got? That's all I'm going to cover. We've got a lot of stuff I want to cover. Lots of stuff going on in the American Redoubt, because this affects you no matter where you are. Segment 2 coming right up. It's the end of an empire.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
Thank you. We are back with segment two. Don't forget, there is a rally in support of Liberty State. That's coming up on March 31st at 3 p.m. at Sadie Halstead Middle School. Oh, by the way, did you guys hear about that? Potlatch, Idaho, a gun show that took place this week in... That was one of the American Redoubt news stories I was going to cover. A gun show in Potlatch, Idaho. At the elementary school. It's awesome. That's the American Redoubt. And there was some article that said a controversial gun show to take place at elementary school. There was no controversy. I had somebody sending me pictures from the locations. They said there's no press. There's no protests. Everybody's just here buying guns and ammo. They're just doing what Americans have been doing for decades. At local school. So the only controversy was only conjured up in the mind of the journalist or the editor, whoever wrote the article, saying that there was controversy. So they're creating controversy out of nothingness. But in this case, it is a rally in support of Liberty State. That'll be taking place in Newport, Liberty, formerly Eastern Washington. Newport is the town. About, 40 minutes north of Spokane? March 31st, 3 p.m. Be there if you are in the area and you'd like to hear more. So libertystate.org is where to go to find out more about that. Now let's talk about toxic masculinity and warriors. Toxic masculinity is what we've been calling you all to. It's only toxic to the effeminate or to the feminists, but... There's really nothing toxic about truly being masculine unless you have a problem with masculinity. But we kind of embrace our toxic masculinity, especially as warriors. Many of you are, or maybe you used to be a warrior. Now you're still a warrior at heart. Good job, by the way, the training that's been taking place. I'm so encouraged by this. In the last month, I've had several people say, we are listening to what you're saying. You're right. We're on borrowed time. We need to make use of it. We have not been. And we've actually been forming a group of men within our church that you meet at men's breakfast, Bible study. Let's go do some shooting. And let's go out to lunch. Let's go out to breakfast. There's these small warrior groups of men that are beginning to fellowship with one another. And now the discussion is taking place where they are ramping up their training. They're more formalizing their training, still informal. It is not regulated. There's no chain of command, but they understand there's a need. The season that we're in is calling for men of all ages to step up to the task, to get ready to become warriors, because they are going to be called to that task at some point. And so I'm so encouraged to hear of the training, the very calculated, deliberate efforts to train in all these different communities. So I want to encourage you guys to do the same thing if you're not already doing that. There's a role for everyone. You might be a medic. You might be a radio operator. You might be the tactician. You might be the former infantryman that has some skills you can pass along to other people who have the willingness to learn. Whatever it is, but these basic fundamental skills, especially warrior skills. All right. And we do need to make use of this borrowed time. You know, after Trump was elected, everybody said, oh, thank God, Hillary did not get elected. And they just kicked back. They just let their foot off the gas. They stopped preparing. They stopped paying attention. They stopped being engaged And that's a problem because the left has ramped things up and we have not. We've gone the other way. Everybody recognizes, oh, good. Thank God we got borrowed time. Judgment was coming for this country. I mean, what Hillary would have gotten in would have been a civil war. But now we've actually been granted time. The inevitable has been put off. So what do? You go, what, play? You're not on mission anymore? Remember in Joshua chapter 10 when they were chasing the Amorites and the Lord was like wasting a lot of the Amorites. He brought down what, stones, hail, that was taking out more of the Amorites than the Israelites were slaying with their swords. God was with them, like in the battle, literally helping them in that battle. The Lord was fighting the battle with them, with the Israelites. But see, the Amorites started to get away and it started getting later in the day. And Joshua cried out to stop the sun and the moon to buy themselves time. And the moon and the sun stopped. It stopped for a whole day. It just stood still. Boom. So why? So that they could continue with the task and have the daylight to pursue the Amorites and hunt them down and slaughter them all, which they did. But can you imagine if they cried out, give us more time. We need more time. Don't let the sun set. Make the sun stand still in the sky. And then it does. And then they go, cool. Anybody got a volleyball? Start breaking out frisbees? Start playing horseshoes? Can you imagine? That's what we've done in this country. We've been given borrowed time. It's like everything that was, we were headed like a freight train toward this collision that seemed inevitable, especially if Hillary would have gotten in. And now we've been granted this standstill moment and we're not going after it. So I don't know what else. There's some patriots that are still very much engaged and very much aware, and they're feeling a sense of despair. They're feeling like it's over. We don't have a chance because people are checked out. The bad guys are not checking out. I want to give you some resources here. A couple things that were recommended. These are highly recommended. We need to, our youth, the next generation, our posterity is being attacked. They've been targeted. They're being exploited. We're sitting here planning and talking about the coming revolution, the coming collapse. And guess what? The collapse is here. The collapse of our culture. And guess what? The war is in your living room. The war is at your kitchen table. Because I know some of the debates that you're having with your newly enlightened teenagers. And we're not. We didn't invest in them before they got to that point, and now we don't know what to do since they're at that point now. So we go back to counting our number 10 cans of dehydrated food while we're losing the war that is in our homes or in our communities or in your church, right? Now, if we're going after the young guys, we really need to strategize about how to do this. We're going to talk about how the left is organized. So, but for the younger warriors, there's a book. I'm going to post a list. It's a Christian book called God's Mighty Warrior Devotion Bible. It's really cool. Now, what this has got in it, I'll just read you the description. This popular devotion Bible, stop, it's not a Bible. It has Bible verses in it. It is not a devotion Bible. That's actually not accurate. But it teaches boys how to be the mighty warriors God created them to be. Even though they are often filled with energy and imagination, boys may not always feel very mighty. With this devotional Bible, ooh, I hate when they say that. It's not a Bible. With this devotional storybook format, boys can learn how to be strong, honorable, courageous, and true. Do we need that now more than ever? Especially among the men? Selections of the Bible text from the International Children's Bible are combined with delightful articles to help a budding warrior, that's your children and your grandchildren, earn his armor and grow strong in the Lord. It features the belt of truth, covering morals and values. Guard your heart, covering manners for boys. Standing strong, or sharing the good news with friends. Shield of faith, how to make right choices. Helmet of salvation, knowing right from wrong. The sword of the Spirit, also scripture memory. And then mighty warrior Bible heroes. And then finally, adventure quest, encouragement for imagination and adventure. Very cool. Now, this is to invest in our young warriors, which we need more. We need to foment that toxic masculinity in our young warriors, our children and grandchildren. But, of course, let's not forget the girls either. The same author produced one for girls. And that's called God's Little Princess Devotional Bible, to help your little girl blossom into the faithful princess she was created to be. The content speaks to every family's felt needs as they work to raise daughters of the King. So there's a couple there to help you invest in those character traits and building them up so they can stand their ground. And sometimes people, they want to stand their ground. So, well, here's a story here this week of this kid standing his ground. A student in Ohio was suspended for refusing to leave the classroom during the national walkout on Wednesday. Good for him, right? Well, what's interesting, though, is that he didn't want to take a side. This is a beautiful illustration of where we are in our culture. You cannot not take sides any longer, in my opinion. He didn't want to, he says, school is no place for political activism. I'm not leaving the classroom. So he was suspended for refusing to follow instructions because he was instructed to leave the classroom. Now, to be fair, they said you can participate in the walkout or you don't have to. If you don't want to, then you can go to an alternative study hall for all the kids who don't want to participate in the walkout, one or the other, because we can't leave you in the classroom unattended for security or safety reasons. So they were not forcing them to participate or punishing them for not participating in the walkout, as some of these stories led people to believe, because they didn't have to. They could have easily just gone to a study hall and sat there during that 20-minute period. He refuses to leave. So why? Because he didn't want to pick sides. And guess what? He got suspended. You cannot not pick sides. You're going to have to choose. And this is what it's coming down to. You cannot be a pacifist that's not going to take a side. And this is a really good life lesson. Now, then we take this one step further. Why would a student have to leave the classroom so he wouldn't be unattended? Because where in the beep button was the teacher who's being paid to be in that classroom? The truth is, the teachers are participating in this. I've got accounts that are coming in, teenagers in this listening audience who are saying, and parents of this listening audience, who are saying that the children are reporting that the teachers are helping to organize this, even though they're claiming that they're not. So why a student has to leave the classroom to go to a study hall so he wouldn't be left alone in the classroom? Because the teacher was not going to be in the classroom, because where's the teacher? They're participating in the march. Well, they're saying they're observing to make sure that things are, you know, safe. So let's go and take a look at some documents here. And there's a lot of information for me to go through. So we are going to burn through this. And I think Apoly01 was instrumental in helping pull all this stuff together, because see, it was swarming fast as a lightning bolt. There's an article from CNN. There is from the March 14th event, hashtag enough is what it's called. It was the brainchild of Empower. Empower is the group, the youth group, that falls underneath the Women's March. And you can see it right here in the CNN article. Well, a reader called in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in the heart of the American Redoubt, in Patriot territory, called the Coeur d'Alene School District to let them know the Women's March was sponsoring the event. And they were told, no, Women's March was not involved. Well, you guys know who Women's March is, right? The foul, nasty, foul-mouthed, crude, just vile women that were saying the most foul things in public and talking about their private parts in public speeches. It was aired all over MSNBC and CNN, and they allowed it. All to look out for women while they denigrated themselves. While they're talking about fighting for the dignity of women, they acted the most undignified way a woman could even imagine acting. And these foul, nasty, hateful, vitriolic women are now in charge of this, or heavily involved in this this so-called enough walkout anti-gun thing. So apparently what happened was that the staff said they were not allowed to have or see any of the handout materials since it was political and not affiliated with the school. You get that? The staff are claiming all of the political handout material, they didn't get to see it because they couldn't, because it was political and it wasn't affiliated with the school. They have a duty, responsibility to find out what's being handed out. So she mentioned parents were not invited also. They said the parents, please do not show up at the school because for safety reasons, it would just be too chaotic. So parents, you're not allowed to be here. You get that? So there's I got screenshots here. Communications from there's more than I can go over. There's more than I have time to go over. We're going to have to put some articles out and slowly release this throughout the week. But if you ask, well, what's wrong with Women's March? I mean, they're just trying to march for, you know, women's rights, right? Wrong. If you go to their website, you can see some of the images from the Women's March Facebook page. They've got a picture of impeach Trump. And it says, limited offer, instant download of my original impeach artwork on a poster just in time for the Women's March. I'm giving this away for $1 so that anyone and everyone can print a poster and march with it on January 21st. My dream is to run into somebody else at the DC March carrying this poster. Anti-president stuff. Okay. If you don't have access to a large printer, you can print it on 4 separate 8x5. So they're this got this big poster, M Peach, with a big peach on it with hair on it. And that's one of the posters at the Women's March. The other one that they have on there is the is the picture of our president, the picture of the student's president, the picture of this country's president on the Women's March Facebook page with President Trump wearing a red hat that says effing moron across the top of it. So that's the kind of stuff that we're seeing. Oh, there's another one, another picture of President Trump in a toilet, and it says the Oval Office. And that is the kind of stuff that's being displayed, that the crude and disrespectful stuff that's being displayed on a website that is organizing an event for your children to participate in at your public schools. And your public school officials are saying, no, Women's March aren't being, they're not related to this. And when it's not true at all, we've got all of the documentation right here. If you look at the Women's March page, they've got the Coeur d'Alene High School listed as one of the participating schools. And there is a map of the nation with little orange, red, orange dots all over the country where they're boasting of schools that are participating in this Women's March-led walkout. They're the ones that are facilitating and organizing this. Almost 3,000 of them. And just like most of the maps that we see, the American Redoubt is very sparsely populated with this leftist political activism, but there still is multiple red and orange dots inside the American Redoubt. The communists are here. They're not coming. Now, if you go to womensmarch.com and look at the sponsors, who are their main sponsors? Planned Parenthood, the murderer of unborn babies, the SEIU, MoveOn.org. Other sponsors include American Federation of Teachers, Code Pink, and the Female Body Part Hat Project. Psychologists, social responsibility. Ended up being over 3,000 walkouts listed on the Women's March website. They're the organizers. And your school is just saying, no, Women's March doesn't have anything to do with this. When it does, they're either lying to you or they are ignorant and they're abrogating their responsibility to find out who is behind this. When students RSVP, they get a text message or emails from each of these events. They make voting easy for your students by using text messaging. They're getting them to register for vote. This event is causing division within homes and within the school. What about the kids that did not walk out? There was a Facebook video where a Spokane student was told, "You will be the next school shooter," since he did not walk out. I don't know if I can say the source of that. Elementary kids participated. We've got images. Elementary kids. Talking about how much parents are helping or not helping. And here on CNN, please help us adopt a school in your area who wants to attend the March for Our Lives, March for Our Lives in Washington, and pay for them to do it. This is on CNN. We'll post this up for you. Donate buses, flights, train tickets. Donate your time or your talent. Donate directly to March for Our Lives. For this to really never be never again, we all have to stand together. And they're asking shooting survivors to call on businesses to support the march. Well, I call on businesses to support the right to self-defense. Because millions and millions of gun owners who own combat rifles shot no one. And they're standing prepared and trained to defend life. And just as importantly, just to protect liberty, which is the whole point of the Second Amendment. But if you look at their Women's March web pages, in the American Redoubt, here's one, shared to a group, March for Our Lives, Coeur d'Alene. And she writes, in this Facebook posting, "I just found this video. The revolution is here and now. Shooting survivors perform a song. Sean Keenan. Let's see. Boise State Capitol was overrun with students. They got national coverage! Exclamation mark. So proud of all the young people stepping up to have their voices heard. No, these students are being co-opted into being used as tools and exploited because they don't even know their history. They don't even know the true meaning of the Second Amendment. They're children. And you want, now they're talking about lowering the voting age. I love the sheriff or the former sheriff in Wisconsin who said, you want to raise the age to own a rifle to 21? Then let's raise the age to vote to 21. I mean, if we're going to decide when constitutional rights begin, you're going to arbitrarily pick 21 years old to be able to defend yourself. Well, how about 21 to vote? I say, great answer. Anyway, here's something else I'm going to talk about in the next segment. This gal, Ashley, on the Facebook page, and apparently Coeur d'Alene, says, "Good afternoon. I've been kicking around the idea of potentially buying business cards with the information for 5 calls on them." Keep an eye out for this. Ask your kids about this. Have you been given anything from your school that has anything that says 5 calls on it? If we want to do a large amount of them, maybe we could do a pitch in a few dollars. I know that I would want to use them at my walkout, but maybe we could use them at the march as well. So these adults, leftists, are organizing to make business cards to hand out to your kids with instructions, this 5 calls instructions. And what else we got here? There's another one. There's a bunch. There's just so much here. There's a name I want to look for here. There's one coming up on Indivisible, the leftist communist tied group Indivisible is organizing another walkout. Make a note of this. April 20th. April 20th. It's coming to a school near you. This is driven by Indivisible. And these guys are all tied to the same communist groups. And probably the Women's March is also going to be behind this. Indivisible, the progressive organizing group founded after the 2016 election, is backing the April 20 walkout, helping Murdoch and some of her fellow students organize. Some students who participated in March 14th walkout told Vox they would also demonstrate on April 20th, which, by the way, that was apparently the anniversary of Columbine. But remember, April 19th is Patriots Day. That was the day that the Patriots stood at Lexington and Concord. April 19th, we will be celebrating as well. So we're going to have two polar opposite sides standing nose to nose on April 20th this year. But April 20th isn't the end of this, Murdoch said. April 20th is the launch. We want to make sure we take all this momentum, power, and interest and turn it into concrete actual change. Teen activism is driving a new push for gun control. Well, actually, they're getting all the attention in the news, but there's a lot of teens who are very pro-gun that don't stand for this, but they're not really getting much attention. So Indivisible's website says, we're not the leaders of this movement, you are. Now, how do you think that's going to make a teenager feel? Empowered, right? What are we doing, Patriots? I need a audio clip of crickets. I need to find a crickets. I had one. I need to be playing crickets when I do stuff like ask Patriots, what are you doing to mobilize the youth? Crickets. They've got a practical guide for resisting the Trump agenda. This is something's going on in Massachusetts, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, wait. What's this? Lake City walkout, Friday, April 20th. Well, this is the Lake City High School listed on the event page on Indivisible's website. April 20th, anniversary of the Columbine High School shooting. American students will walk out of class and protest. Together, we'll send a message that we won't tolerate any more action on this issue. And if cowardly politicians fail to act, young people will show them the consequences of letting so many Americans die by voting them out in November. Well, what about all the babies that are dying every single day. So, Indivisible North Idaho is an organization. This group is for organizing and implementing the tools and ideas from the Indivisible Guide. On their website, they say, please add anyone to this group who would be interested and is a resident of Idaho. We meet every Monday to plan action steps. Patriots, what are you doing to meet regularly to plan action steps? Crickets? 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 Okay. You can download the Indivisible PDF. There's indivisibleguide.com. We've posted this. I've covered this before. Oh, yeah. There's Bernie Sanders right there. I support. Oh, my gosh. Donna Scott Blaine, working to change Idaho to blue. So, in other words, patriots, Christians, there's somebody who's claiming that they are working to upend your values and your ideals to help change the demographics, the political values, and your heritage in conservative strongholds. And they are working. There she is holding a sign in a crowd. There's a website, there's a podcast, and a blog, a news blog called The Real CDA, as in the real Coeur d'Alene, therealcda.com, also promoting Indivisible in Patriot territory, Patriots, in your backyard. What are you doing about it? You cleaning your M4, getting ready to go to the range, counting number 10 cans of stored food while your children and your grandchildren are being co-opted into joining a movement that is going to completely pull the rug out of everything you thought you were going to pass down to them. And they're going to turn against you and your values unless you get actively engaged with them. Do we have some people out there that'd be willing to form a task force to counter this, to go to also target our youth for protection, to protect their souls and protect their minds, protect them from being deceived, protect them from being used and exploited, to stand for the principles of freedom that the founding fathers envisioned, that you were hoping to pass down to them? Are there people out there to be willing to form a task force to be able to actually do this in a meaningful way? Let me know. John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. There's another one, another panel in Coeur d'Alene. The future is female. This panel includes Rebecca Schroeder. Name sound familiar? Played her video last week, or audio. And also there's the gal here running Girls Awake. Girls Awake. This is from an article in the Coeur d'Alene Press. So on March 4th, they cover this community section. Leaders discuss evolving gender roles. Evolving gender roles. What they mean is dissolving gender roles, especially roles of males, to make them less and less significant or relevant. So they've got this creator of Girl Awake and owner of Verve Studio 8, whatever that is, probably, what, I don't know, dance studio or something. So they're giving a speech at the Human Rights Gestapo Institute in Coeur d'Alene, and she's quoted as saying, "There's no such thing as a woman's place or a man's place." Obviously, a very unscriptural, unbiblical point of worldview, right? Because there is a place, and a woman's place and a man's place. God has a role. They're both equally valuable to him, but each of them have a distinct role. And they're blurring this. And now, so, I mean, they're even standing on this. What is it? The future is female. So that means, in other words, the future is not men. They may as well just say, the future is how to get rid of men, how to get men out of the picture, how to make men irrelevant. Those would be subtitles under the title of this group, The Future is Female. Meanwhile, they say there is no gender role. She says, where is it? Oh, there is no man's place or woman's place. There is a world. It is a place, and we're in it. But then they turn around. Then they turn around and say, the future is female. Is that not sexist? Anyway, on the Girls Awake Facebook page, you guys are aware of this in your communities, Girls Awake. It's a group that's been presenting at the local school's fourth and fifth grade girls and the public libraries. They're doing a human rights play, and they also learn about puberty. So they're injecting the social justice propaganda into fourth and fifth grade girls' indoctrination. And you can check it out, facebook.com/girlawakeproject, to learn about what's sneaking in like a snake into your communities. Legislative District 4. Oh, there's her name, Rebecca Schroeder. She's a Democrat candidate for you folks over there in Coeur d'Alene, District 4. Position A, state rep, Rebecca Schroeder, helping to change Idaho to be not Christian conservative. So you got some waking up to do, patriots. I don't know how else I can say it. Wake up. Wake the heck up. This is happening right under your noses. You can't move to the American redoubt and say, yay, we did our part. Let's go play. You gotta play, you gotta rejuvenate, but you can't neglect the mission. So, let's take a break. I'll be right back.
Do you ever wonder how we got to this point in America when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds, or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In addition to voting in all elections, become active in government. Run for local, state, and national office, or help select capable people of the highest integrity to serve. Be constantly vocal on all local and national political issues. Tell your representatives in Congress, or even the president himself, what you think is the best course on issues that come before the public.
Segment 3, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com is who you want to go visit. If you've got property, you're trying to plan it out so that you can have a water access, food supply, energy production, and even security features, all these crucial features that you want to have in your property for long-term viability. You might want some help with that. And there's some folks, that's what they do. I was just talking to somebody this week who was using strategic landscape design to strategically design their property with ponds and alternative power and water storage, and doing a great job. Spoke very highly of them. So it's pretty cool. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. And you know what? I think I forgot to mention. Oh, hey, our last segment. In all my excitement, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, they sponsored segment 2. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping people get relocated here. If you're looking to move into the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, then get a hold of Selkirk Mountain, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Sorry, forgot to mention that. Okay, so there's a book I cannot recommend strongly enough. It had a huge impact on me. It's by an author, Ayn Rand. Some people call her Ayn Rand. Some people call her Ayn Rand, but she's Russian. She's a Russian immigrant. She wrote, many of you guys know her by her masterpiece work, Atlas Shrugged, which is another very profound, ahead of its time novel that really described the demise of America. And, I'll highly recommend it. Go check it out. Read the description. But there's a book that really grabbed me. It's called We the Living. I've mentioned it before. It was her first novel that she wrote in 1936. And this description says she was startled by the failure of American intellectuals and politicians to uphold the American ideals of individualism and freedom. And she was horrified by the widespread acceptance, even sympathy, that greeted the spread of communism, socialism, and fascism in Europe. So Ayn Rand resolved to expose the noble idea of collectivism through the story of three young people whose lives are sacrificed by an all-powerful state. This was right after the Bolshevik Revolution, they really targeted the youth, and everybody was on board. You're part of the party, right, comrade? You're a good comrade, or are you? You don't want to share? You're not going to be a good comrade? What? Well, this book, if you have not read it, you need to. Now, if somebody's aware of another book that also tells this similar type of story. And I guess another example besides We the Living, let me know. I'm not aware of another one that really talks about the Bolshevik Revolution and the ushering in of communism, especially the collectivist mindset. Then, of course, you know, 1984, that's, you know, that's a classic. Brave New World, another great one. But another one kind of along that Bolshevik Revolution era, like We the Living, let me know. We'll put a Amazon link up here for We the Living. It should be on everyone's bookshelf if you don't already have it. Now, there's some stuff going on in the paper in the Coeur d'Alene Press. And there's a staff writer. No, there is a guy named Tom Hamilton. A former Coeur d'Alene School District board member is accusing the district of violating its own policies by allowing political lobbying on school grounds during Wednesday's student walkout. You know, that's a violation of the policies. Think, I'm telling you this, guys, for a reason. Because this is the strategy that you need to adopt to counter what's going on in your own school district. Because your school district very likely is in violation of its own policies by allowing political lobbying and walking out making political statements is marginal. That's one thing. But what they're doing with these registering kids to vote, and they're pushing an anti-gun agenda, and they are giving them these cards called five calls. Now, Tom Hamilton, who spent a term as a Coeur d'Alene school trustee, including a stint as a board chair, and who helped write a policy prohibiting political lobbying on campus, said student leaders who organized Wednesday's 20-minute walkout at Coeur d'Alene High were allowed to break the rules. And so, what are these rules? Well, of particular interest were the political lobbying activities conducted on school grounds during contract hours, which were not only supported but lauded by the administration, who should have been aware that this activity violates board policy and the law. Hamilton wrote to the superintendent Stan Olson in an email obtained by the Coeur d'Alene Press. So they have the prohibition of distribution of partisan materials or materials from advocacy organizations promoting programs that are political or could be perceived as controversial. And I would ask for a response to why this was allowed to happen, this guy Hamilton writes. Unfortunately, the district's approach to this event has taken the attention away from important conversations that we should be having. So the school district spokesperson, this is the important part right here, guys. Besides this whole article, and we'll have this link for you to adopt this strategy. The arguments that this guy Hamilton makes to the superintendent needs to be duplicated. That's your action item. You need to be able to duplicate this guy's arguments and inject them into your local school district to stop these people from allowing this to happen in your schools. But this is the important part right here. School district spokesman Scott Maben described Wednesday's activity as student-led, although he said students had conversations with administrators and faculty before the gymnasium event. The 50calls.org material was not brought up at those meetings. So they're saying, we didn't know. We didn't know this material was here. Well, just like they didn't know, like they should have, that the Women's March was involved. And I don't know if they were aware. Maybe they are. They need to be made aware that the other leftist organizations are involved, like Indivisible, a communist-backed organization. So the 50calls.org material, which is what these leftists on Facebook are talking about in your communities, making them available on like business card-sized cards. Why? To pass out to the kids. They said they didn't say anything to us in advance. If they had presented the material in advance, it would have given administrators a chance to look at it. They're saying, we didn't know about this 50 calls thing. So apparently, Hamilton also says the administration allowed it to denigrate into a circus sideshow related to gun control. The reason for the policy is to protect students from being used as pawns in these conversations. That is exactly what you have allowed to happen here. It's good. He nailed them. Good on this guy. I need to track this guy down and do an interview with him. Anyway, faculty and administrators were on the gym's perimeter during the student-led event to ensure it went off safely. No, the faculty and administrators, I contend, were on the gym's perimeter to make sure it went off, that it happened. The faculty and administrators were not in the classrooms. Were they? Because we're seeing story after story of the teachers actually, and I'm hearing stories where the teachers are actually prompting the kids to be involved in this. So let's look at the walkout activities. This was posted on Facebook. The walkout activities, this guy, Tom Hamilton, that went after the school board to hold their feet to the fire. He posted on Facebook the outline for walkout activities. There's going to be a vote. There was a voter registration booth. Remember, they're going to dial this in and fine tune it because on April 20th, they're doing it again, if you allow it. So they have a voter registration booth set up at the location of the walkout. In order to register, you must be 18 by November 6th of 2018. So they're going after the seniors, mostly. You must know the following information to fill out. Your driver's license number or the last four of your SOCH. Basic personal information like name, address, and phone number. It's likely you will not fill out your card during the walkout. There will be an envelope in the office to drop off your voter registration card. You also have the option to mail your card. You can simply put a stamp on the corner and you're all set. Letters to Congress booth. Political activism. Is this not? So they had to set up a booth and the administrators weren't aware of any of this. So they're saying there will be letters to Congress booth set up at the location of the walkout. You will not complete the letter most likely. You take it with you. The five calls cards. This is what we want to get to. You can download the five calls and use your voice. Use five calls to know exactly who to call and what to say when speaking to your representative on issues. They're training your children to be political activists to make five calls. So you go and you put in your zip code for where you live, and it tells you all the people right there who your elected officials are, and it gives them a script of things to say to them so that they can inundate them with complaints and voicing their opinion. All the work's been done for these kids by adults, by leftists, by communist-influenced people who've got your children. They have full control of your children. Now, patriots, what are we doing in response to these five calls to equip the youth that you have access to influence, to have an influence and an impact by making five calls to express pro Second Amendment, pro liberty, pro heritage American values? What are you doing to make available to your kids? This is brilliant. This is brilliant. The left is organized. The communists have this down. And the patriots, what are we doing? Crickets soundtrack. That's what we're doing. It's happening right under your... So, use five calls to know exactly who to call and what to say when speaking to your representative on issues. Visit fivecalls.org for more info. Available on iOS operating system and Android. How convenient. We're losing. There's just no other way to put it. I know, oh, you need to not be so negative. You know, I read the Bible. We win in the end. Okay, that's a great little quip. You're going to win. Your children and grandchildren, where are their souls going to end up? This is the fight of the millennium. This is the fight of a lifetime. This is the fight of all fights. This is the fight of history. There's no greater fight than right now. There's never been more at stake right now. The demonic powers have never had such a global influence on such a mass amount of people so quickly ever in history. And we are here for a reason, to be on the battlefield. And we're not. We pull out our sword and we're like cleaning our fingernails. We're just not engaged. Do you want to get in the fight? Do you want to get in the fight? Do you want to fight? Do you want to pick a fight? There's no shortage of fights. You got to find out how you want to get involved in the fight. You're needed. So get engaged. Get that article that we're going to post with Hamilton. That's the Coeur d'Alene Press article. Print that bad boy out. Print that thing out. And it's the Coeur d'Alene Press. Local protest prompts protest. That's the title for that article. If you want to just go look it up yourself, if you don't want to wait for it to be in the highlights and resources posting, the article, the Coeur d'Alene Press, is titled Protest Prompts Protest. And that's where this gentleman, Tom Hamilton, takes the school board to task, and his arguments are dead on. This can be duplicated. You can use it in your community, but you've got to be educating your youth, your children, and your grandchildren. Youth pastors, pastors who are in charge of youth pastors, you got to get engaged. Get sponsor an Appleseed Project shoot. Sponsor an Appleseed shoot. Learn about your history and your heritage and get guns in your kids' hands and start learning responsibly. Responsibility. Gosh, there's a lot of tools out there. We're going to have to take this on. Somebody want to help me with this? Somebody want to help put that stuff together? I'd love it. I would absolutely love it. Anyway, guys, I went long. I want to talk about communications. There are several things I wanted to mention. We've got tons of stuff we've got to get uploaded, though. So I will get to it. I got some communications questions that I want to address. I want to talk about this space weather big alert thing that we got. This huge solar storm set to slam Earth tomorrow. That came out this week. And I saw it and I read the article. A G1? A G1? Are you serious? A huge solar storm set to slam Earth tomorrow and it's a G1? That's routine. Even matter of fact, this afternoon, because I subscribe to this alert system, the SWPC, Space Weather Scale Alerts, and we've got a G2 coming in, which is moderate. And we're, for us, for ham operators, we're like, yawn, G2. Okay, so voice comms are going to be miserable for a day and a half. We'll try digital. It may, probably will work. It might not for a few hours at a time. Big deal. So everybody's like, this made it to Drudge. And so I got so many people sending this to me going, did you see this? This massive solar flare slamming Earth tomorrow. What are we going to do? We actually got some stuff that actually some practical action steps that you could be taking. And I'm going to post those next week. I'm going to dedicate, and there will be a segment for next week, because I'm going to work on producing that way ahead of time so it's all together so you get you guys some good information. But anyway, I got to call it good right there, guys. You have a blessed, abundantly blessed week this week. Stay safe. Stay in the Word. Stay in the fight. And if you're not already in the fight, then get in the fight. Yes, you should have a combat rifle. You should be proficient with it. But there is a war going on right now. And you need to, when you're in battle, you need to use the appropriate weapon for the fight that you're in. And right now, the fight that you're in does not require a combat rifle. It requires you to be actively engaged in using discernment and teaching up the next generation and engaging your fellow citizens and educating yourselves first and then one another. And they've got the youth, man. They've got them by the throat. They got them. They got them right under your noses. It's like sitting in a camper on the campfire and a cougar came in and just grabbed your toddler by the throat and he's walking off with it. What are you going to do about it? Of course, talking figuratively, Lenin said, give me 8 years and the seeds that I've sown will never be uprooted. And guess what? He was right. The communists have sown seeds that are now, they're sprouting. It's your children. It's their souls. That's what's on the line. So what are you going to do about it? Don't make me have to go get a little sound thing with crickets. I don't want to use it. All right. Guess have a blessed week. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and my name, God willing, is your name too. Good night.